Even at a small hospital, lots of patients are coming in the door every day, and we have the opportunity to capture better data and improve that going forward.
Welcome to Unlocking Big Data, a series about getting trusted data to healthcare decision makers presented by HIMSS. In December 2023, HIMSS Market Insights conducted research with 100 healthcare leaders to understand perspectives on the use of data analytics platforms. Throughout the series, we'll present key data points from the research and focus on why these data points are important and how you can leverage these findings to support your healthcare organization's data initiatives. Today, I'm joined by Luis Ahumada, Director of Health Data Science and Analytics for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, and Jake Hochberg, VP Analytics and Chief Analytics Officer at Arcadia. Welcome, Luis and Jake.
Thank you.
Thank you.
52% of respondents agreed that their organization lacks the data infrastructure necessary to fully realize the value of AI today. So let's start with you, Jake. How do especially the smaller organizations really secure or build out that data infrastructure to be prepared?
So the big key is have a data plan, have a roadmap, understand what you want to build out next, and understand at which parts of that roadmap you're able to start to leverage new technologies, new AI, new ML. So you don't need to wait till you have the world's best, most perfect data infrastructure to start to leverage these tools, but you need to sync those pieces up so that you know that you have the right level of data quality for the use case you're going after and for the model you're going to try and connect to in some way.
And Luis, how do you think about that? How do you think about having the infrastructure that's maybe good enough to get started, especially if you're a smaller organization?
Yeah, I want to make two points on that. So one is that, ML, machine learning, and AI is hungry for tons of data, right? So smaller organizations don't have that by design, by nature, of what they do. So they need to rely, they will need to rely on a third-party company or join to and collaborate with other institutions that actually manage large quantities of data, right, to generate and create these models, because they were not going to be able to do that. And second, on the infrastructure point, is more about the investments that they have to do in the cloud technologies at this moment. It is really important and relevant to do that. Trying to build their own LLMs, trying to build their own machine learning models, trying to do all of those things. Some of those organizations cannot afford, right, to have the resources to do it. It's not only about the money, but also the knowledge and the people to actually know how to do that. Large organizations and academic institutions, they have an advantage because they, you know, within the system, they will have more patient data. They have the resources on how to use that. But as, you know, Jake said before, it's about having a data plan. And that is really, really important. And that goes into the data strategy, the data governance, on how to collect data better every day that they collect. Because what we know is that data we've been collecting for the last 20 years is not up to par for what we do. We have techniques and methods on how to fix that, like missing data, things like that, but it's not enough. And if we can start doing that, collecting good data from now, everything's going to be better.
And this actually ties into this question of health equity, because starting out, you know, if you have fewer resources as an organization, fewer data points, you know, are we then compounding this issue of inequity in this new age of generative AI? And if so, what can we do to mitigate that?
So I think a few things. We have to be really careful as we're rolling out these new models to make sure we're aware of the use cases, we know how they're being used, and that the appropriate research is going into the impacts and biases they have. I'll give an example. About 4 or 5 years ago, there was a story about a model that was widely in use, and it leveraged cost data in its identification of patients. And what it did is it created more inequities because patients who were not interacting with the healthcare system were being downweighted in these models and not being identified for care management. So at Arcadia, as we've built new models, we always put a large emphasis at the end of the model building process on feature engineering and identifying the impacts of our models on race and ethnicity and census data. And we have found things in the past that have led us to either build additional models or change our models to ensure that we are not creating biases. So I think the number one thing is making sure that as these models take hold, we're really focusing on making sure they are equitable and they're not taking problems that exist in healthcare today and making them worse.
And Luis, from your perspective, in terms of guidance smaller institutions can adopt to minimize bias and worsening health inequity.
Sure. So, when I think about that question, I think the appropriate answer will be like anything that we do today. When you buy a new surgery equipment, right? You already know that that went to clinical trials. When you prescribe medications, you know that it went to clinical trials. It's a process about that. AI is not different than that, right? And now with the FDA classification for software as a medical device, even more so. So we need to make sure that whatever, you know, the small and even the large institutions, when they are going to adopt these technologies, they need to make sure that has been tested properly. So tested for biases, tested for collecting all the data that is possible. It's not only about the accuracy and the performance of the model, but also that has been tried and actually see what are the results, because we're playing here with, you know, with lives, and that's different than, you know, in social media, any algorithm that gets it wrong, it's okay because nothing happens. But in healthcare, the price is high.
It was interesting. Earlier, we were discussing the idea of tailoring models and customizing models for specific geographies. And is that an opportunity as well for smaller institutions that might not be able to easily transfer a model from a larger one?
Yes. So the concept of generalization for the AI models, machine learning models, and how I can develop one and then deploy in different geographies, we have seen that is not correct, right? So the population that a hospital will receive, for instance, in the Caribbean, right, is a lot different than in Boston, right? So the demographics are completely different. It might not work the same. And we have seen some of the research that we have done that is there are differences into that. So the population has, and you can adjust to that. It's not that it's difficult, but you have to account for that and actually know how to do that. Otherwise, you will be treating people that you might think in Boston, but they actually, it was trained with data from, you know, another part of the world that has nothing to do what, you know, in Boston is happening.
When I think about legacy systems and having sort of, you know, huge archives of maybe not the best data, are some of the smaller organizations actually at an advantage, perhaps, that they can kind of start from scratch with new systems now?
That's a very positive way to think about it. But I think to a point Luis made earlier, I think we can get data capture right now. So we can't necessarily go back in time and clean up all of the data we had. But we have, even at a small hospital, lots of patients are coming in the door every day. And we have the opportunity to capture better data and improve that going forward. So if you are a smaller system and you are now finally rolling out your next generation of an EHR, you do have a real opportunity to get it right now in ways where in the past, maybe it was not as much of a focus.
The next point is about when we talk about large amounts of data, it doesn't mean it has to be historical. So I'll give you an example, right? So if you try to build a model using 10, 15 years of data, right, that you have, in those 10, 15 years of data, the therapies, the people who actually work in that hospital, the actions that they took, a lot of different things have changed over time, right? So they will not apply. So that when I said and mentioned about large amounts of data is because it's the amount of data within a time span. So if you want to look at readmissions, for instance, right? Everybody's been focused on readmissions for a long time for different reasons. And if you try to run readmissions or create a model with readmissions data for 15 years, there is not going to be the same as running for the last 2 years, right? But then you need a lot more of patients, a lot more encounters into that to be able to get a good positive impact if you generate a model like that. So you have to think about that too. So this is the moment, I agree with you, that we need to start collecting data the proper way, and AI can help us to actually do that, to help us collect better data.
Great. Thank you so much for those comments, gentlemen, and for the conversation today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be sure to catch the companion HIMSS TV interview with Luis and Jake for more on how to fully unlock your organization's healthcare data through AI. For HIMSS Cast, I'm Indu Subbiah.